I want to thank Gary for adjusting these vents so that they do blow on me. So y'all, if you don't like it, you can take that up with him. Oh, I'm telling you what. No, it's a great day. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you're all here. And I'm also thankful for electricity. We had a great class this morning. It was a neat experience. Both the Hispanic and the Anglo congregations met together in the back, and Brother Guerrero translated. And I think everybody enjoyed it for the most part, except when that chair fell down back there. But that was perfect timing. I had just mentioned fear and trembling, and then the chair fell, and it was a great example of that very thing. Have you watched professional baseball recently? Have you watched a game in the last little while? I'm going to tell you, it's not like it used to be. I tried to watch the game last week, and I couldn't watch it. I couldn't stand it. It was terrible. There were three announcers. Now, see, I remember back when Harry Carey would call the ball games, and that was great. They would call the play, call the pitch. It was a strike or a ball. He'd swing and a miss, or he would swing, and it's a line drive out to center field. And I mean, and it was just a description of the game, and it was wonderful. And you could actually hear the ball. You couldn't hear the guy hit the ball. There were three announcers, and they would not shut up. They just kept yapping like a bunch of small dogs. Yap, 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 yap. And then they put all these graphs on all these charts, and they just, the field play just disappears. You couldn't even see the infield because of all these graphs they had all over it. And then they're talking about this guy and that guy and his, you know, what his troubles are and how he's doing. And it was just not baseball. I turned it off. I couldn't stand it. I like high school ball. I like college ball, but I don't care for that professional baseball anymore. It's not like it used to be. But back in the day, my team was the Oakland A's. Now, you may not like Oakland, and I don't care. I loved them. Back in 1972, 73, and 74, they were the world champions 3 years in a row. And no other team in baseball except the New York Yankees has done that. And I remember three amazing pictures. Vida Blue, Raleigh Fingers, and Catfish Hunter. They were fabulous pitchers, and nobody could get much of a hit on them. And when they did hit the ball, it was normally caught. And they had another player on that team that I imagine most of you have heard of this guy, but you will not guess who it was. He's a very famous ball player that played on that team with them. Reggie Jackson was on that team before he went to the Yankees and became, you know, their great hitter. So, yeah, I loved old-style baseball. And I mentioned baseball for a specific reason. It's a long fly ball headed for right field. It's going to be a home run. It's right at the wall, but at the last instant, the fielder leaps into the air, stretches his arm to full extension, snags the ball just as it goes over the fence. He's out. Just like that. He had to reach for it. That was the only way he was going to stop that from being a home run. Do you remember the seventh inning stretch? Do you even know what that means? The seventh inning stretch? Years ago, and it actually started in the 1800s, there was a game in the Northeast, and I can't remember the exact teams, but one guy, to give his pitcher time to warm up, suggested a timeout and everybody in the stands stand up and stretch because they've been sitting for six and a half innings. It's in the middle of the seventh inning when they have the seventh inning stretch. And so everybody stands up and they stretch, and they normally sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game during that time. And that's a big time tradition with professional baseball, even today, the seventh inning stretch. And you know, there's nothing that just feels like a good stretch when you've been sitting for a long time. I'm not much of a cat person. I'm more of a dog person. Okay? I have no problem with cats. Face Wanner has got two of the sweetest Persians I ever saw. Okay? And they love me for some reason. I don't know why. But Have you ever watched a cat stretch? It's like, how do they do that? It's amazing looking, and it looks so good. And when you stretch, and you've been cooped up for a while, and you just do some big-time stretching, man, it does feel good. Stretching is good for us. We need to do it. Tanner is a great congregation. You really are. There's a spirit of unity and love here like few other places in the world. And I have been in many places in this world, but I've never been in a place like Tanner as far as a spirit of love and unity that exists here. And you work really hard to build and to maintain a sense of family, of belonging, of unity in this congregation. You're to be commended for that. And you're a very generous group of people. You care about others, and you're always ready to help in a time of crisis. Doesn't matter what it is, you're ready to help. And God bless you for that. But brethren, it would be easy for us to become content on what we have done or are doing, wouldn't it? It would be very easy for us to do that. And it might seem okay to coast on what we have done, but should we? Like the baseball player stretching for that long fly ball, we too need to stretch out. We need to reach for more. We need to become more than what we are. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, in knowledge and judgment." In knowledge and judgment. We need to grow in our knowledge of God's Word, and we need to grow in our judgment in how to apply that knowledge. So there's room for growth there. We need to do it. And then he goes on to say, "That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Now, that's going to take real effort for us to continue to abound more and more in love, for us to continue to abound more and more in our knowledge and in our judgment, for us to approve things that are excellent, for us to be sincere and without offense until Jesus returns, for us to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, the evidence of righteousness in our lives. That's going to take some real effort. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." An abundance for every good work. Paul is saying that God will help us, but we still have to stretch. We have to reach for it. We have to keep trying to serve. It's as simple as that. Now, I've made reference to this passage in Philippians 3, and we will deal with it next week in our Bible class, Philippians chapter 3. But I want to read this passage again in light of what we're talking about this morning, about reaching for it, reaching for it. In Philippians 3, verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Then verse 10 beginning, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on." Paul's saying, I'm reaching for it. I'm stretching. I'm pushing myself. I'm not satisfied with the status quo. By the way, Brother Keeble, Marshall Keeble, used to say status quo is Latin for the mess we is in. And I think that's a pretty good analogy there. But he says, "I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Does Jesus have a hold of you? Ricky Skaggs last night sang a song about... What was that song, Stan? "You can't shake Jesus." Wasn't that it? "You can't shake Jesus. First you can't shake him up and you can't shake him off. He's not going anywhere." That was pretty good. That was one of his better songs in my mind. But, you know, the thing is, Jesus is the one that has a hold of us. He's the one that has our heart in His hands. He's the one that has our life in His hands. He's the one who preserves and protects His people. He's the one that's going to save His people. But we have to stay with Him. We have to stay with Him. And he says, so I'm pressing on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. He's reaching for it. He's stretching, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We all have personal accomplishments. There's things that we've been able to do in our lives. But that's in the past, brethren. That's in the past. Faithfulness is in the present and reaches toward the future. That's what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is not a matter of the past. It's always the present and reaching forward to the future. That's what faithfulness is. I can't remember the pop singer that did this song, but she sang a song, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" You know, God could ask that. God could ask that. What have you done for me lately? You may have done great things in your past. You know, you may be an old person, and there may be certainly limits on what you're able to do physically and maybe even emotionally, granted. But there's still work to be done. There's still things you can do. There are prayers to be prayed. There's scriptures to be studied. There's phone calls to be made. There's letters to be written. There are people to talk to. There are things that you can do. You cannot retire. You can retire from a secular job. You can retire from industry. You can retire from being a teacher in education, but you can't retire from Jesus, for you are to lay hold on eternal life just like He has laid hold on you. No, we too have to press on. We have not yet reached our goal. We have not yet accomplished our task. We have not yet fulfilled our purpose. And you know how I know that's true? Because we're still here. Because we're still here. Our time has not yet come. But when that time shall come, and our heart beats its last beat, and our lungs breathe their last breath, our brain thinks that last thought, when our time shall come, and the end comes for us on this earth, then, only then, have we reached our goal. Only then have we accomplished our task. Only then have we fulfilled our purpose on this earth. But only then, if we have been faithful to Jesus. Now keep in mind, brothers and sisters, faithfulness does not mean sinless perfection. Faithfulness does not mean having all your religious ducks in a row. Faithfulness means loyalty to Jesus. Loyalty. You're never going to get it all just right. You're never going to understand everything that you need to understand. You're never going to know all that God would like you to know. And you're certainly never going to be able to do all that God would like you to do. And you know who knows that better than you? God does. God does. He is your loving Father. Yes, He is your Lord, and He is your God. He is your master, and you are His slave. But if you are a child of God, He is your Father, and you are His child. And He loves you with a love that is beyond description. And He cares about you. He cares about what you're doing and what you're thinking and what you want and what you fear. He cares about what interests you. He cares about where you are right now and where He would like for you to be. And you know where God wants you to be? It's simple. Closer. One word. Closer. We sing that song, "Oh, a closer walk with Thee." God wants you to be closer. He doesn't want you to hold him at arm's length. He doesn't want you to come to church on Sunday and be a Sunday Christian and then Monday live the way you want to live. God wants you closer, closer to him. We sing beautiful songs, Nearer, My God, to Thee. We sing that song, Nearer, Still Nearer. We sing the song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. God wants us closer. That's what he's after. But we have to stretch for it. See, there's still a great work to do. There are billions here on this planet, and most are lost. There are thousands of people all around us to whom we could minister, to whom many of whom we have ministered. I didn't say that right, but you get it. There are many more to whom we must continue to minister. There's work to do. Galatians 6, 9 and 10, and let us not grow weary from doing good. This is New King James. Let us not grow weary from doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, somebody says, that's telling them, amen, preacher. You tell those elders and deacons and preachers what they need to do. Brethren, this passage is addressed to every child of God. Every member of the body has a place and a responsibility, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. And it's time for every one of us to step up to the plate and swing away, to continue the baseball analogy. It is God that loves us. And it is God's desire that we serve. And it is God's will that we all continue to serve him. So brethren, the progress, the growth, and the success of this congregation rests on your shoulders and on mine. All of us. And so does your own personal growth and success as a child of God. That rests on your shoulders. God is willing and he will bless us. Listen again to 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance to every or for every good work. God is willing and God is able. So now it's up to me. Now I have to do my part. We're the ones that have to reach for it. So I ask this question. Are you stretching yourself? Are you reaching out to serve the Lord? Somebody else asked, well, what will it take for me to reach for it, as you say? Well, first of all, you're going to have faith and trust in God and his promises. You're going to have to trust him. If God says he'll be with you, then there's no reason for you to be afraid to do something that God has told you to do. He said he'll be with you, and he has said that. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's what Jesus said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrew writer said that. So we have God's promise that he'll be with us. So we need to have faith in him. We need to trust in God and his promises. And then you need to be enthusiastic about the Lord's work. Be enthusiastic about it. Not a holy dread, but be enthusiastic about it. And there has to be diligence on our part. Due diligence. Do you know why So many people fail to do things that they set out to do? They're not diligent. They don't give attention to the details. They don't make sure things are done correctly. We fail so many times because we lack diligence. And there's also got to be a vision for great things. We've got to dream big. We got to be ready and willing to do little things, but we need to dream big. We need to have a focus, a goal, a something that we're shooting for. And that vision has to manifest itself in three things. Work, and work. That's how that vision manifests itself. Work, and work. Now, some want to nitpick, some want to complain. And when they do that, they're allowing Satan to use them. In the words of one great philosopher, stop it. Just stop it. Don't do that. Don't do that. You be faithful to God. You and I need a positive attitude. We can. We can. By God's help, no matter what it is that needs to be done, we can. And you know what the result will be? Our lives will be changed. We will grow personally like never before. And souls will be brought to Jesus because we're going to be inviting them and we're going to be talking to them and studying with them and showing them how they too can have eternal life. And the church is going to grow numerically and spiritually, and God is going to be glorified, and people will take knowledge that we have been with Jesus, just like they did with Peter and John. In Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. You know, nothing anyone can say would be a greater compliment to me or to you than for somebody to say, it's obvious they have been with Jesus. It's obvious by the way they're living, by the attitude of their heart, by the words of their mouth, by the actions of their life, that they have been with Jesus. So, we gotta stretch out. We gotta be, you know, we gotta be people that are involved. And the folks will notice the change in us. We'll pray more. We'll rely more on God's Word. Our homes will be happier and blessed by reaching out to God to do more and to be more than we are. Even greater and bigger things will happen around us, all because we're reaching out and stretching ourselves, reaching for it. So, a couple of questions. Are you reaching out or running out? Are you stretching forward or shirking back? It's time to move. It's time for the soldiers of Christ to arise. All of Christ's soldiers. It's time to arise. And so we end with the text. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Of course, this is a statement from Paul to Timothy. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Brethren, in short, we need to get involved. This afternoon, get on the phone. Invite people to join us next Sunday for our Friend and Family Day. I mean, it's not that hard. Write a personal invitation to a friend. Better yet, get your car keys and go see somebody. Go see someone who needs someone and encourage them to join us. And encourage them, if you're looking for a church home, this is the best one you'll ever find. And give people an opportunity to ask you questions. Why do you feel that way? Why are you so happy? Why do you have such a confidence in God? How can you have certainty that Jesus is going to take you home in heaven one day? Give people a chance to ask you those questions. But here's the point. Just do something for the cause of Christ. Do something. I close with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're not a Christian, If you believe Jesus is the Son of God and you will turn away from sin and commit your life to the service of the Lord, that's what repentance is. Confessing your faith in Jesus. Be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, letting the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. If you've not done that, we want to invite you to become a child of God today. And having done that already, if you've for some reason allowed sin to come back into your heart, into your life, if you've grown cold and negligent in your service to the Lord, but you already have been born again of water and the Spirit, you already have become a child of God, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, rededicate yourself to Him, just like Simon the sorcerer did in Acts 8. Repent and pray to God, and He will forgive you and restore you to Himself. There's room at the cross for you. And if you need Jesus today, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.